He keeps us in the midst of storms, and He prepares us for what's coming. That's why we can't be looking back at the last storm. I will guarantee you there's a new storm that's coming. You may not like that weather forecast, but I can guarantee you that the weapon you learned how to use in this season, the Lord is already preparing a new weapon to go with it for the next season. So I want to, in my message tonight, talk to you about 5777, the year to grow in boldness. 5777, the year to grow in boldness. I don't know how long it's going to take. I got 12 points. I never got through with this message in Honduras a few weeks ago. Point number one, decide to grow in boldness. Decide to grow in boldness. We need holy boldness or supernatural confidence. But it's a decision. Just as forgiveness is a decision and love is a decision, growing in confidence and boldness is also a decision. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 in the Amplified reads, "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward." You know, when Christ came upon you, you received boldness and courage. You received Him. He is all boldness and all courage. And the writer of Hebrews is encouraging us not to fling that away. So often we get caught up in who we are and forget who we are in Him. We have to decide, we have to choose to grow in boldness. In Acts chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, we read about Peter's boldness. "And fastening his eyes on him, Peter with John said, 'Look at us.'" This is at the man at the gate called Beautiful, who was lame since birth. "And he paid heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Now, all of our translations say that this lame beggar man was sitting in the gate called Beautiful. But the literal translation of the Greek was, it's the gate of timing. It's the gate of proper timing. It's the gate of God's timing. Jesus went through every gate of the city. This man sat for years begging. Jesus never stopped and healed him. The shadow of Jesus falling on this man didn't heal him. It was God's timing that prompted Peter with boldness to look at this beggar man who was expecting Peter to pull a few denarii out of his pocket and give it to him, or maybe just a couple of copper coins so he could get something for dinner. But boldness came upon Peter, and he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man instantly got strength in his legs and walked. See, if you decide to walk in boldness, the Lord can release His Spirit through you in unusual ways to do unusual things. But we can't get puffed up. Just six verses later in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, we see Peter's humility. "But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, 'Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this, or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk?'" In other words, Peter's saying, it wasn't anything I did to make this lame man walk. It was the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the power of his name. In other words, Stephen can become the light switch just by touching the person. Sometimes it takes boldness for us to get out of our comfort zone and out of our space when the Lord says, just lay hands on him. Well, what do I say? Just lay hands on them. If he tells you to say something, say something. But boldness comes through obedience. And then it humbly releases the glory back to the one who gave us the boldness. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13 and verses 18 through 20, we read, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Is the world going to recognize that you've been with Jesus? See, if you move in boldness, they will know there's something unique about you. "And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" Do you have that level of boldness? That if the world tells you, the world here was the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if the world tells you to stop talking about Jesus Christ, his love and his miracles, you judge whether it's better for us to honor God or to honor you. That's boldness. They weren't brash. They weren't arrogant. They weren't ugly. They weren't in your face. They weren't obnoxious. They just, you judge. "As for me and my house," as Rob said a couple weeks ago as he ended his Crossing Over series, "we will serve the Lord." In Acts 4:29, we see that after all of the great things that Peter's done in the early church, he asked for more boldness. In the Amplified it reads, "And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly." In other words, after you have done everything you know how to do with boldness and courage, ask the Lord to give you more boldness. You see, boldness really comes out of where our worship was tonight. It was in a place of his love. Before service, we were singing, "More love, more power, more of you in my life." That's boldness. When we've done everything to stand, it takes boldness to stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we see that Paul asked for more boldness. He says, "And pray also for me that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador and a coupling chain in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly and courageously as I ought to." See, the only way we can present the gospel is boldly and courageously. Would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to come to my service tonight? And maybe my God might touch you? No, there are no milquetoast Christians. Boldly. "Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Let me tell you how he took me." This all came to me during worship tonight. I shouldn't be here tonight. I literally should be dead three times over. But somehow, he spared me. Even before I knew Casey, I shouldn't have a marriage, I shouldn't have kids, I shouldn't have a family. My sin was so dark that I did some of the dumbest things you could think of. Let me tell you what God's done for me. He's turned me around. He's blessed me with what he said he would do. He's given me generations to love. And every once in a while, he uses these hands and this mouth to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to preach his kingdom. Now, if you'd like a milquetoast message, I suggest you go someplace else. But if you'd like boldness, come sit down and we'll talk boldly about the Lord. See, the early disciples sat in the presence of the apostles, saw signs, wonders, and miracles, saw them humble themselves and ask for more boldness, and then saw them go out and the Lord move boldly through them. There's an example for us. We have to desire boldness. Point number two. The life of Jesus Christ can manifest in my mortal flesh. The life of Jesus Christ can manifest in this temple. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. New American Standard Bible. I'm not here no more. That's better than I did in Tennessee last week. I told him that Lisa was rolling over in her chair by the way that I abused the English language. That's what that was. She had to pick herself up off the floor in Rochester because of the way I abused English in Johnson City. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In other words, you're not looking at the dead old flesh, unless I'm still living in the ways of the dead old flesh. You're looking at the risen, resurrected King of glory in this earthly temple. I thank my daughter for putting nice clothes on it every Christmas. If you're looking at someone and you don't see the boldness of Jesus Christ, chances are they're still living in themselves. I'm not here, but He is. You're not there, but He is. Will you let Him be who He is? The bold lion of the tribe of Judah, the one that roars and all creation humbles itself. Does that mean I have to shout? No, but I can. But when you speak something with boldness and confidence, all of creation listens. The principalities and the powers, the rulers of wickedness in heavenly places, stop what they're doing because you have the audacity to move in the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them through the cross. Second Colossians. It's Colossians chapter 2. They shudder when you decide to move boldly. Jesus can and desires to manifest in your mortal flesh. Romans 16:20, Paul says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of God be with you. Father, want you to be a power-walking, evangelistic testimony of the presence of the boldness of Jesus Christ. Can Jesus manifest in your mortal flesh? Can Jesus manifest in your mortal flesh? Point number three, change your self-image. Change your self-image. You know who George Barna is? I've done three surveys by him since the election. I don't know if George sent them to me or not, but his name was on the email. He does surveys. He does studies. He puts together statistical analyses of things. Listen to this one. Only 70% of all pastors describe themselves as non-leaders. 70% of all pastors say, I'm not a leader. And then we wonder why our nations are in such a mess. 70% of the pastors in this continent don't think of themselves as leading. That's pretty powerful deception. You know where deception comes from? Not from God. Proverbs chapter 28, the first half of verse 7 says, "As he thinks within himself, so he is." If I think that I'm not a leader, guess what? I'm not. If I think that I'm not a good chemist, guess what? I'm not a good chemist. If I think that I'm a bad husband, guess what? I am a bad husband. If I think I am a great father who loves his children and grandchildren, then I am. Why? Because Scripture is not a lie. As you think in your heart, so you are. Do you know that you are all leaders? Do you know that you are all ministers? Okay, we don't have to go back to foundations. We're all ministers of reconciliation, bringing together the warring parties of man to God and man to man. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33 says, "There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we are in their sight." In other words, our God's not big enough to give us that promised land flowing with milk and honey. And oh, by the way, the grapes were this big around, and it took two of us to carry one cluster across our shoulders. But God's not big enough to tear down their giants because we're just little grasshoppers. How do you see yourself? I see yourself as mighty men and women of the Most High God, with a prayer language that is so powerful that angels are waiting for you to release the command of the Lord so they can go do what He created them to do. How do you see yourself? As we think, we are. Our self-image informs our actions and our beliefs. Well, I'm not really so sure I can do that. You probably can't then, because your self-image impresses you to what you believe and what you will do. I have a speech impediment. I used to have to go down the hall, taken out of class in first grade, and sit in the janitor's closet where they washed the mops, because that was the only room the school could make available for a speech therapist to come in and help me learn how to talk right. I'm still learning English. Talk correctly. Speak well. Lift my little finger when I drink my tea. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was too young to take a Toastmasters course, but my father got me into the course because my older sister was in the course, and he figured, well, he might as well take both of us at once instead of having to do it a couple years apart. He was a wise man. I was the youngest person in the course, obviously, and all of my friends took one step backward when they asked who was going to be the leader for the presentation in the board of directors room at Kodak office. I won. I was asked to give a message in high school. Just a very brief message. And remember, this is the little boy with a speech impediment, which didn't instill a lot of confidence. And it came to me to do it. And they said, "But he doesn't talk loud enough." Well, you all know how loud I can talk when I have to. So I did. It came out of him. See, how do you think of yourself? Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? We already established that he can do marvelous things through your mortal flesh. So you can do all things, right? That means you can be bold. See yourself as bold. When you look at yourself, do you see your destiny? Do you see what Father says about you? When you see yourself, what do you see? I see myself as a man getting ready to reach a fourth generation that will be born sometime in the next 15 to 20 years. Can I do that? If God gives me the grace, yes. But it will take me boldness to make it through the teen years of my grandchildren. Right? All you moms and dads know what I'm talking about. It was one thing, I had a full head of hair before Bill and Jess were teens. You can do all things. Ask Father to show you who you are in His eyes. Number four, true boldness is grounded in true submission. True boldness is grounded in true submission. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It does not say resist the devil and when he flees, submit yourself to God. If I'm back at the beginning and I desire boldness, it can only come from Jesus Christ in me. The devil doesn't flee from me. He flees from he who lives in me. Do you remember the story of Billy Goats Gruff? Some of you don't. I believe that was a spiritual lesson. I believe that there are demons under bridges. Why do I believe that? Because you look at where accidents happen, you look where death is, and death draws demons. Just like rotten meat draws flies, Beelzebub being the lord of the flies. Well, Billy Goat's Gruff, this young little Billy Goat came trancing around, blah, 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 and a toll said, I'm going to eat you. And he said, oh, no, my brother's bigger than me, let me go. And his brother comes along, oh, no, my brother's bigger than me, and he comes along, and the big brother dealt with the gremlin. He who is in me, he who is my rear guard, according to Isaiah 52:12, is what the devil flees from. The presence of he who is greater than I. The presence of he who I submitted myself to. If I submit myself to my teaching, if I submit myself to my education, if I submit myself to my governor, my president, my emperor, whoever, no demon's going to flee from me. But James is pretty clear. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, which means don't listen to his accusations, his slander, and his lies, and he will flee from you. In other words, we're back to point two. When you speak it, he has to obey. What? Yes, every demon in hell has to obey you. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Jesus, we know, and we've heard of this dude called Paul, but who are you? See, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, no demon has to respect you. As a matter of fact, they abuse you. I was there. And that's one of the reasons why we are a deliverance working church, because we know what it's like to have been wrung out by the accuser of the brethren, and now we want to help people get set free. True boldness only comes when I am submitted to God in Christ Jesus and I can stand up in Him and say no in the face of temptation. Number five, intimacy with God. Jesus was intimate with the Father. He's our example. Everything He did because he saw his dad do it. Everything he said because he heard his Father speak it. Intimacy will give you boldness. How could Jesus, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, how many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? So you're just like Jesus when he was walking the earth. A man filled with the Holy Spirit stood in certain places, but the scripture says in other places he walked away. Why? Because he did exactly what he saw his Father do. There's certain battles Father says it's not time for, just like the man at the gate beautiful. It wasn't time to heal him, so Jesus didn't have the liberty to heal him. He had the ability, but not the liberty. If you are so intimate with Father that you hear him say, now go speak to this one, now go lay your hands on that one, now go put this on their desk. Did he say to write your name on it? Maybe, but in my example, no. You do exactly what you heard Father say to do or saw him do. The intimacy with the Lord will give you boldness to do what's there. And you know what? When you have that boldness, you can walk away knowing you were right in his sight. That's what righteousness is. And you don't have to worry about whether God does anything else or not. Many of you know my testimony. The first two people that the Lord, I think, asked me to pray for in a hospital died. Aren't you glad I didn't stop? I'm glad I didn't stop praying for people. That was a real confidence booster. It was part of my upbringing. I should have listened more carefully to what he wanted me to pray. I know as an aftersight now in one of them, he really wanted me to pray for the man's son, the man who died. Because he was in a drug-induced coma. He died that night. He hadn't been awake, and when I gave his wife a little pocket Bible to give to her son, he sat up in bed, looked at me, said, thank you, God bless you, and laid back down and died. So I made sure I went to his memorial service and spoke with his son. The Bible that I gave her was in his hands in the casket, and I used that as an object to reach his son with. Are you willing to get intimate with the Lord? Psalm 119, verse 54. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Worship him. Rehearse his word back to him. Not because you want to get something other than his presence. Because when you get his presence, you have intimacy with him, and then he reveals things far beyond what I ever could ask or imagine. Psalm 118, verses 28 and 29 says, For you light my lamp, the Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. When I am intimate with the Lord, there is nothing I cannot do. And I will do it boldly. Number 6, experience. The first two people I prayed for died. That's part of my experience. I learned I have to pray more exactly. I have to learn to pray in the Lord's timing. I've seen people raised from their deathbeds because I have learned to follow what it is he's told me to do in the time frame he's told me to do it. Experience. Whoa, there's Goliath on the horizon. How many men stood there and listened to that giant defile their ears and their souls, blaspheming the name of the Lord? But along comes this little shepherd boy carrying a few cheeses for his brothers, and because it was politically correct, he carried a few for their captains. He, out of intimacy with the Lord, learned how to kill a bear. Experience. He didn't have an Uzi. He took the lion by its beard and slew the lion because he was intimate with the Lord and the lion was trying to take his sheep. See, his experience showed him how to come against the forces of darkness that were assailing and trying to steal, kill, and destroy in his life and his inheritance. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons, but it was still his inheritance. And now this giant Goliath is trying to defile, to steal, kill, and destroy the entire nation of Israel. It's no different than where we are right now in 2016. The giants are trying to destroy the nation of Israel and the testimony that Jerusalem belongs to the people of the Most High God. David had experience that gave him great boldness to say to the king, Saul, I can't use your weapons. How many of you would say that to President Obama? I don't want your nukes. I don't want your tanks. I don't want your satellites. I'm going to face this in the name of the Lord God of Israel. See, that was David. I can't fight in this armor. I have to fight with the weapon that I learned in my intimate time with the Lord. And what did he use? He used the word of the Lord because the enemy was really defeated when he came at him and said, you come at me, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. He disarmed the principalities of powers that were protecting the giant because of his experience of intimacy with the Lord. And you've seen me do it before, but he was whoo, 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 whoo. If you heard that noise, do you think you might look to see what that noise was? If that noise was being made in your presence, Goliath's armor bearer did. Goliath had an armor bearer? Yes, yeah, someone held that big shield up in front of him. Goliath hid behind it. You know, most giants are cowards. Most bullies are cowards. All demons are cowards. As soon as you move boldly out of intimacy with the Lord, they get out from behind their protective covering and they're open to the word of the Lord that you use against them. See, David had experience and he used it to bring down the giant. We need to be bold because there are giants right now that are trying to keep you and me and our children and our children's children from the destiny that the Lord has for this continent. You notice what I said, this continent. There is a destiny for North America that the church in North America needs to bring into fruition. Number 7, answered prayer. How many of you have ever had a prayer answered? Then you should know how to pray more boldly because it's like gasoline on a fire. You get one answered and... Let me pray for you. Oh, let me pray for you. Oh, I saw this one. Oh, I saw that one. Oh, did you see what the Lord did? Oh, by the way, Ron, keep your eyes open when you're praying. You'll miss the miracles. I have seen legs grow out. I've seen legs miraculously grow out. I've seen bodies lifted off of beds. I've seen the Lord do amazing things, and half the people praying were praying like this. Oh, Lord, if you could, would you? That's not very bold, is it? See, you've got answered prayer. You've had the Lord answer your prayer so you know you can touch his heart. Now I just need to know that intimacy with him that I know that it's Casey he wants me to pray for tonight. Or it's Linda he wants me to pray for tonight. And I don't just assume that I can pray for anybody at any time. Can you? Yes. Is the anointing there? Maybe. Did you catch that? But because you have answered prayer, that should give you boldness to know that when Father says pray, He's already listening for what you're going to say. He's probably already put in your heart what He wants you to say so He can say, yeah, that's my girl, go do it for her. I'm looking forward to the day I can share that over my granddaughter. It's not too long coming. Number 8, knowing God's Word. It gives you great boldness when you know the sword of the Lord so intimately. You know why I read out loud to myself? Exactly. I'm simple. I'm a farm boy. It says in this book, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I need faith. Do I understand it? Not always. Most of the time, not. But Holy Spirit does. And what I read out loud many times during the day, remember I started the service by saying that this week I've got a lot of requests and the answer was all about resting in the Lord. That was something I read out loud this week. He brings me appointments where that is the answer to the questions the world is asking around me. So, you can look it up if you want, but this year's passage of Scripture is Psalm 119:49-56. Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, but I do not turn aside from your word. I remember your ordinances of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Bitter indignation has beset me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine that I seek your precepts. That's the passage of Scripture in Psalm 119 that are all Zion words. See, when we know the word of the Lord, the enemy shudders because we have the sword of the Spirit and the power and authority of the Spirit combined in this temple. And the enemy doesn't like it. Because you can stand up boldly and say, Lord, you said. That's putting a demand on the Lord. Why can I do that? Because His word says, His word returns to Him victorious, fulfilling the purpose for which He sent it. See, when you know the word, you can pray with such authority and power that the enemy doesn't like it when you come around. Most likely because, could you stand up for a minute? Most likely because when you know the word of the Lord and you come around, there's this whole host of angels that are floating around you and they have to deal with them to get to you. Thank you. Why? Because He inhabits His people's praises. And the strongest praise you've got is telling the Lord what it is He has said. Is Jesus Christ the Word of God? Do you know what it is when you speak the Word of God back to the Word of God? It's Jesus coming through you back to Him. And Father says, Son, they got you. Angels, go. I'd love to watch some of the conferences that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have. And all the angels just looking in. Do you know you can't go anywhere in heaven? This is a physics problem. You can't go anywhere in heaven and not be facing the throne of God. It's impossible on earth. But with God all things are possible. In other words, He is the only focus in heaven. Do you know the Word of God? If you know the Word of God, you can move boldly. Number 9, take a stand. Ephesians 6, 11 through 14 say, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. Three times Paul exhorts us to stand. For what, when, and where will you take a stand? Do you know most Christians don't know what the battle's about? Do you know what the battle's about? Where will you take a stand if you don't know what the battle's about? Will you take the stand when first graders can go to the bathroom anywhere they want? Aren't you glad someone took a stand in another state and stopped that perversion from being perpetrated in all of the states? Where will you take a stand? Do you know why it is not permissible for me, with this microphone on representing Shepherd's Heart, to speak about the government? Do you know why? Because Lyndon Baines Johnson retaliated as governor of Texas. He had something defeated, so when he became president, see, the church stood up and stood against him for something he wanted to do in Texas. He made it illegal. He manipulated the IRS to be his watchdog, and if I say anything that's counter to what he wants, I can lose my 501c3. Did you know that? Do you know that that's one of the promises that the president-elect has said he will undo in his first 100 days of office? It was not done legally. It was done with the authority of the executive branch of the government. But it will be undone. But you know that because of that, since the days of President Johnson, the church has lost much of its voice so that the world doesn't listen to the church anymore? And by the church, I mean what the collective body of Christ is saying. Where will you take a stand? I will take a stand for you. I will take a stand for the body of Christ. I will take a stand for my family when anyone says that the Word of God is wrong and shouldn't be honored. That will look different in many situations and circumstances. But just like in the message I gave on doing the right thing, if someone says perversion is good, I will say no, perversion is wrong. If someone says murdering innocents is good, I will say no, murdering innocents and the shedding of innocent blood is wrong. See, if we move in boldness, not brashness, not arrogance, we can stand up for the truth and see people get set free. I'm thankful for those who did stand on several biblical issues in the last 6 months. I'm thankful for the judges in those regions, appellate court judges, who said, that is completely ridiculous. And throughout the lower court orders. Which means it can't come up again until it gets challenged in the new Supreme Court. Hopefully by then, they will all be saved, have a knowledge of the truth, and a hunger for the presence of the Lord. You want to know how I'm praying for our 8 justices and the 9th one to be appointed? By name. Number 10. Observe others who have taken a stand. Observe others who have taken a stand. Philippians 1, 12 and 14. Paul's example gave others courage to stand. Now I want you to know and continue to rest assured, brethren, that what has happened to me, this imprisonment, has actually only served to advance and give renewed impetus to the spreading of the good news, the gospel. So much is this a fact that throughout the whole Imperial Guard and all the rest here, my imprisonment has become generally known to be in Christ, that I am a prisoner in His service and for Him. And also, most of the brethren have derived fresh confidence in the Lord because of my chains and are much more bold to speak and publish fearlessly the Word of God, acting with more freedom and indifference to the consequences. Whose example are you going to follow? I like the example of Martin Luther King Jr. Most of you probably don't know that Martin Luther King Jr. got his theological degree here in Rochester. You probably don't know that he had a passion for Rochester, New York, and that after the race riot of 1965, he came to the Council of Churches in Rochester with a message of love and peace to heal the body of Christ and the city. But the Council of Churches rejected that message and instead took the message of Saul David Alinsky, a secular Jew and social organizer who worshipped Lucifer, and followed him. It's all published. It's all in the history books. I will stand in the face of darkness with love and peace, because out of that come righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit and the power of His presence. Do you know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was? I will follow his example. Do you know that he was one of the few who stood up? He was a pastor. In the face of Nazism, he was imprisoned for the entire war because he stood up and said, "You can't do this. You can't kill the Jews. You can't kill the Christians." And right before Hitler, whether he killed himself or someone killed him, right before he died, he had Bonhoeffer assassinated, put to death in prison. No matter what, he was bold for the Lord. He lived boldly. Whose example are you going to follow? See, if you observe those who move boldly for Christ, it generates a confidence that He's not a respecter of persons. He can do the same thing for me that He did for them, for Martin Luther King Jr., for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, for the countless thousands who have stood up for Christ since the cross, and they are waning in heaven for you and me. It's time that we looked at the history books and followed the example and observed those who have boldly taken a stand. Number 11, declare new boldness. See, Jesus declared Jubilee before He did it. He boldly declared what He was going to do, and then He did it. You can look at that in Luke chapter 4. You can see the temptation of the wilderness in verses 14 through 21. And then it says Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And then He sat down and He opened a book, and He proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And when He gave them back the book, He said, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." That's pretty bold. To tell the religious leaders, "I'm the Word of God." Is the Word of God living in you? Did you feed Him this morning? Do you know the only thing He likes to eat? Word. Word for breakfast, word for lunch, word for dinner, word for snack, word at bedtime. Word in the morning, word in the evening. a word at supper time. If the Word of God is living in you, you can declare boldly what He's asking you to do. Number 12, activation. Activation. Embrace the sword of the Lord in 5777. That's activation. This is the sword of the Lord. Embrace it this year. We said this is going to be a year of clashing swords. Let me tell you, this one wins. There are no weapons in the flesh that can contend with the Word of God. Learn to embrace the sword of the Lord. Activation. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 9. We don't often quote that book. Her filthiness was in and on her skirts. She did not seriously and earnestly consider her final end, future, or destiny. Therefore, she has come down from the throne to slavery. Singularly and astonishingly, she has no comforter. O Lord, cries Jerusalem, look at my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself in triumph. That was about Jerusalem and Israel, but it's no different than the church today. She did not consider her final end, her future, and her destiny. Consider your destiny and get bold. Consider your destiny and get bold. Embrace the sword of the Lord this year and get bold. Do you have a destiny?
Yes.
Some of us do. Will you fulfill it?
Yes.
Remember that old Ken Henry song? I know I shall fulfill. And I don't believe it's in a city on a hill. It's a nice little lyric, but I believe it's much bigger than a city on a hill. I believe it's the nations of the earth, because he said in the Psalms, we can ask him for the nations. That was a psalm about Jesus. I'm going to close with two thoughts. It is not arrogance to believe in the calling of God on your life. It is not arrogance to believe in the calling of God on your life. February 4th of 1986, the Lord called Casey and I to stay in Rochester. But if you read or listen to it, or if you were there, there were many things he said that was the call of God and his destiny on our lives. We still choose to believe it, even with winter coming. I'm having to control myself because I want to prophesy. It is not arrogance to believe the call of God and his destiny on your life. If you know what it is, embrace it and run with it. Rehearse it before him. Boldly declare it. That's why we record prophecies. That's why we transcribe them. That's why we give them to you. That's why we pray over you with them. That's why we encourage you to pray over them and to decree them into the heavens, so that all creation knows this is the word of God for your life. Yes, the invisible is much more real than the visible. It is not arrogance. It's foolishness to not believe the call of God on your life. If he calls me to be a dog catcher, I will be the best dog catcher in creation, because that is the piece he made me to be for the body of Christ. If I am a knee, I will be the best knee. If I am an eye, I will be the best eye. If I am a whatever on my shoulder, I will be the best whatever on my shoulder. I don't know what that's called. Thor? Final thought, and then we're going to pray. In the spring of 2000, Chuck Pierce wrote this as a response to a question from a man who is and has been one of Donald Trump's advisors, a spirit-filled pastor. His testimony is amazing. He's Hispanic, and his people called him a traitor, but the Lord told him to do this. This was Chuck's response to him 16 years ago when he was questioning what the Lord was asking him to do. To not embrace the word of the Lord over your life is to not embrace the Lord himself. To not embrace what God has spoken prophetically over your life is the same as not embracing Jesus Christ himself, because he is the Word of God. Do you understand why we take prophecy so seriously in this house? God does not waste his words. He has spoken a destiny over each of your lives. And I would like to pray for a mantle of boldness in this year, now and going into 2017, for each of you. If you would like that, stand up. Father, by standing, we say that what you have said about us individually and collectively is true. That we are peculiar and particular and unique in the body. And that by your word, we are necessary for the body to be complete. Father, we choose to believe your word. We choose this year to embrace your word as the sword that wins in the clashing of swords. We choose this year to follow what you have spoken over us and what you will speak to us and through us as opening the doors on the path that you have for our destiny in Christ. Lord, we now take, I want you to prophetically take the mantle of the old off of your shoulders and put it under your feet. Lord, we take every mantle that's been tainted by the words of the world and everything that has lied or seduced us or deceived us to believe that you cannot. And by stepping on that old mantle, Lord, we say you are well able to do all that you have spoken to us. We say, Lord, let your word return to you victorious, fulfilling the very purpose for which you sent it to our lives. And we now take the new mantle of boldness. Holy Spirit, you are the holy boldness that we need, and we apply your mantle to our lives. We say, Lord, let us be mantled with holy boldness and holy courage, so that when you ask us to do what seems to be peculiar to the world's eye, we will say, yes, Lord, here am I. I will go for you. Father, we thank you that it is only in the boldness of your love that we can stand in the face of your enemy. Lord, I ask that as we wear this mantle of boldness, you will lay your hands on it to impart all of the love that we need for each day. In Jesus' name, amen.